E.B. Brown versus the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. Mr. Brown?
Good morning, Your Honor. Cornelius Brown on behalf of E.B. Brown, the appellant. Your Honor, I'd like to begin my remarks, Your Honors, by pointing to the policy of the Wisconsin antitrust statute. I think that needs to be brought out to really get a clear focus as to what our position is. And that statute provides, it is the intent of the legislature to make competition the fundamental economic principle of this state. This is not only the policy of the state of Wisconsin, but it's essentially the policy of this country. The capitalistic economic system of this country has as its foundation and bedrock competition. Over the years, the states have, in response to the various emergencies and exigent needs of the citizens, they have passed legislation designed to either curb unfair methods of competition or prevent the growth of monopolies. Now, antitrust statutes deal oftentimes with monopolies and trying to prevent monopolies. Unfair sales acts like Wisconsin's were passed to combat the practice of selling certain items of merchandise below cost in order to attract patronage. That's in response to the economic conditions of the Depression, many of these statutes. And those two points, those two principles are at work here in our position, in our complaints with the Wisconsin statute. The policy is to foster competition. That's the policy. The other policy is to prevent sales below cost, actual cost. Now, the briefs that have been filed by both parties, you know, I think both sides have been ably argued. We talk about the rational basis, and we get into focusing on what I would call the individual justifications or excuses, the trees. We need to step back and look at the bigger picture. Those arguments, those rational basis arguments that have been proffered by the department and the state, to me, essentially, when you really look through them, they're excuses. And when you start comparing them across the board, they don't have an internal consistency that holds water, that has any merit. Whenever you analyze, I think, whenever you should analyze any act, you have to look at the underlying purpose. And as the Supreme Court said in Heller versus Doe, even a standard of rationality, as we have so often defined it, must find some footing in the realities of the subject addressed by the legislation. That's important. We are not challenging the Cigarette Wholesalers Unfair Sales Act. What we're challenging is the Unfair Sales Act. The act is designed to prevent sales below cost of all products. In the great panoply of products sold in the state of Wisconsin, if you walk into a drugstore, a grocery store, a department store, look at all the products on the shelf. Every one of those products, except cigarettes, and if there happens to be liquor, they do not have to include a cost of doing business. One of the fundamental economic concepts that I was taught is that, you know, you have three basic components of the selling price of a product. You have the actual cost of that product. You have overhead. Everyone has overhead. You have to pay employees. You have to have trucks. You have to have rent, utilities. And then, of course, you have to have profit. Well, in a statute that is designed to prevent sales below cost, virtually every product that gets sold in Wisconsin can be sold below cost because you don't have to include overhead. If you don't have to include overhead and you sell merely at the price you paid somebody else to get that product, you're selling it at a loss. The bankruptcy courts are filled with cases where that's what's happened. Now, juxtapose against that position the unique treatment of cigarette wholesalers. Not only do we have to include the cost of doing business component, which E.B. Brown does not contest or challenge, but we have to sell at a state-mandated price. We have to sell at a manufacturer's list price. I don't know anybody who pays manufacturer's list when they buy a car. I don't know what's so magic about the manufacturer's list price. The state can readily determine not only the manufacturer's list price, it can readily determine what the standard discount that we speak so much of in our briefs. The manufacturer's list price is an artifice. If we're trying to protect against the evils of the manufacturers, which the statute doesn't really address, it's an interesting hypothesis, but there's no evidence in there. And like I said, we have to talk about the realities, what they're trying to fix, what the problem is. You can't just throw things in that have no rational basis or connection. I mean, what the statute provided that licensed distributors can drive around in blue trucks. Other distributors can drive around in yellow trucks. What's the connection to sales below cost? There is no connection. Now, if we have to sell at a state-mandated higher price that is well above our cost, because everybody, if everybody gets the discount, it's not a discount. That's the simple English. It's a discount if you do something for it. If you just have to be breathing, it's not a discount. It's an artifice. It's an arbitrary reduction. So we're not letting the manufacturers arbitrarily determine the price of cigarettes in the state of Wisconsin. That's got its own separate implications, which aren't necessarily germane here. If we can't compete from a price standpoint, then we can't compete. Pure and simple. This morning, coming down the train, I pulled out the food guide. I'm going to have some brats this weekend with my family. I looked at the paper, the sales ad for Jewel, the sales ad for Dominick's. Dominick's has a better price. That's where I'm going to go shopping this weekend. My wife on Sunday goes to the Sunday papers, as many people do, looking at the sales ads. To pretend that price isn't the most critical component in economics is to turn a blind eye to reality. We can offer the best service on the planet, but if we have entrenched local distributors who have their customer base and we can't tell that distributor we can beat them on price, how are we going to compete? We can't. It's not possible. Because they're not going to come to us because we tell them we might be able to give them better service. Their service is fine. All the distributors, they have a nice set of trucks. They're all delivering their products. There is no way we can compete effectively with the way the statute is constructed. Now, we can say that the statute, that we were treated, you know, that we're treated the same as all cigarette wholesalers. Well, that's not really true. The existing cigarette wholesalers have a huge leg up on us. They've already got the market. We can't beat them on price. The state's telling us that we have to have a mandated profit margin. Profit margins and all that talk about profit margins is irrelevant. What does profit margin have to do with anything? If we sell it for one penny above our cost, our true cost, we're complying with the basic economic principle of selling above cost. It's not predatory. Just because you call something predatory doesn't mean it is predatory. If being competitive on price is a predatory evil, then we've got the wrong economic system in place in this country. We have a different system here. And pricing is important, and we need, and this statute, and we cited to a dissenting opinion, you know, I truly believe that. Times change. Situations change. The purpose and time for this statute, if you believe it had one, and I do, that time has passed. And the way it is constructed now, it is designed to do one thing. You look at the judge's chart in the lower court. That's a beautiful chart. I like that chart. When you look at that chart very carefully, I think it argues very strongly in our favor. Because there is no rhyme or reason. There is only one thread of consistency through all of the different changes and requirements under this statute to pigeonhole out-of-state cigarette distributors, to make it difficult for them to get a foothold in that marketplace. All the rest is just excuses. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Schaefer.
May it please the Court, I'm Mary Schlafer, an Assistant Attorney General for the State of Wisconsin, representing the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection and its Secretary, James Harsdorf. I'll refer to them collectively throughout the argument as the Department. Ebby Brown is waging a constitutional challenge to the state's Unfair Sales Act, both a substantive due process and equal protection challenge, as well as a interstate commerce or Commerce Clause challenge. I will focus my comments on the substantive due process and equal protection issues raised, and would be happy to answer any questions that the Court has with respect to the Commerce Clause challenge, but otherwise the Department will rest on its brief with respect to that aspect of this case. The Wisconsin Unfair Sales Act regulates strictly economic matters. There are no fundamental rights or suspect classifications involved here, so the constitutionality of the act is reviewed under the familiar rational basis test. And under that test, E.B. Brown has the heavy, heavy burden of showing that there is no conceivable set of facts which would make the provisions of this act rationally related to a legitimate government purpose.
What is the government purpose?
The government purpose is to set a minimum price at which no distributor or retailer can sell, to in essence equalize the minimum cost that can be charged in order to ensure that there's a healthy amount of competition in the state of Wisconsin, to prevent predatory pricing practices and thereby ensure that there's a healthy level of competition.
And how is this enforced in industries other than cigarettes and alcohol? Where you don't have this cost of doing business requirement, apparently.
Well, as I understand it, E.B. Brown is not challenging. E.B. Brown is arguing to the court that it's irrational not to have a cost of doing business component, and so thereby I don't think is challenging the fact that there is a cost of doing business component with respect to tobacco products.
Well, it claims nobody else in the state is subject to it, right?
That's correct. That there are certain types of products that under the definition of cost to wholesaler, they are not statutorily required to add a cost of doing business.
Well, if the statute is meant to prevent this selling under cost, how is that statute made effective with respect to all of those other businesses? As I understand your colleague's remarks, he said, look, we have to take into account our cost of doing business and setting our price, but the state of Wisconsin is not requiring that with respect to everybody else.
Well, I would answer in two ways. First of all, as I understand, E.B. Brown is not challenging the fact that there is a cost of doing business markup for tobacco product wholesalers.
Why are they being treated differently is what he said.
Well, I think that there is a rational basis they may be treated differently.
Okay, let's hear it.
And this is it. I think that generally you can count on sellers of products to include a cost of doing business in their price as a matter of course.
But now with booze or cigarettes?
Well, there are three different industries in Wisconsin where a cost of doing business markup is required. One is the tobacco industry, one is the motor fuel, and one is the alcohol. As we all know, those are very heavily regulated businesses. And if you did not include a cost of doing business component, that could create an incentive for companies to reduce their cost by basically cutting corners with respect to compliance.
Why would they want to do it? Why would they want to sell at less cost?
Pardon me?
Tell me why they want to sell. They are more inclined to sell at less than cost than any other person doing business. What's the big incentive?
The big incentive is that if you're dealing with a highly regulated industry where there may be significant costs with respect to compliance with industry regulations, that there may be a bigger competitive advantage in trying to skirt around the regulatory requirements.
What are you skirting around to lose money, as near as I can tell, that you're talking about? They're selling below cost and below the overhead, and that's what's prohibited, am I correct?
You're prohibited to sell below the statutorily defined cost.
Statutorily defined cost, however, is overhead plus the original cost.
With respect to tobacco distributors, it's the list price plus cost of doing business. With respect to other industries, with respect to products other than tobacco, alcohol, and motor fuel, it is basically the cost the minus manufacturer's trade discount. But as I said, I think that there is a rational basis that the other components of cost of doing business, if you're dealing with a non-heavily regulated industry, the cost of doing business are things like warehousing product, packaging product. They're things that they will have to do in order to ably serve their customers. And so there isn't an incentive. There's an incentive to try and do that efficiently, but there's a certain point at which you can't eliminate those costs, and so you do need to pass those on. With respect to regulations, those in a heavily regulated industry do create can create a tremendous amount of expense, and there could be an incentive to try to skirt around those expenses, which would be detrimental to the public health and safety, and by simply not undertaking the measures, and therefore you wouldn't be losing any money in selling.
They don't live up to the regulation, they ignore the regulations, is that what you're saying?
Pardon me? It does create a potential.
They can cut their costs by not abiding by the law, regulates them?
It creates a potential for that, or to cut corners.
So you're trying to keep them from being tempted to change, to avoid the law.
To cut corners, yes. And I think that that's a legitimate purpose.
Cut corners on exactly what, price?
To cut corners on complying with regulations in order to save costs, like, so you can sell below cost.
How does that work? Yeah. Let's take one of those three areas, whether it's motor fuel, tobacco, or alcohol. How would a distributor do that, go about what you fear they might do if they weren't restricted by Wisconsin statute? How would the Acme tobacco distributor do that?
Well, there are numerous reporting requirements.
So he wouldn't report?
So you wouldn't report.
What is it?
You save money, and eventually there would be an enforcement.
So is it a revenue? Are you concerned about revenue to the state because of is that what's at the heart of it? That in these regulated industries there'll be some inducement not to, as you say, report, which would cause what? Some public policy? What's the public policy that's going to be violated that it was going to
collect money?
In terms of articulating a potential rational basis for the distinction.
Right.
I think that I think that it is possible that a legislature could be concerned that if we do not include a cost of doing business markup in these regulated industries.
How about the meat industry?
But
is that regulated, heavily regulated?
That is, but again, under the rational basis test, it's the legislature's determination to decide.
Assuming the legislature, by definition, is rational, my question is: isn't meat industry very heavily regulated? Wouldn't they have the same temptation, run some dirty meat past you, or not report what
they may, in fact, but it's possible that the legislature's experience is that they haven't run into the same problem.
The legislature is more heavily into liquor and cigarettes and driving around than they are in the meat, I assume.
It may be that in their experience there have been more difficulties.
If your concern is that the people you are regulating are not going to live up to the laws, and so you have to pass another law, Why do you expect them to live up to that one? Is it easier to nail them, or what?
Judge, in response to this whole line of questioning, let me stress that the appellant we have before the court is a distributor of tobacco products.
Uh-huh.
And the appellant has conceded in his argument before the court right now that it's rational to require a cost of doing business.
He's objecting the fact that everybody ought to be required to do it, or nobody.
But does he have standing to object to that requirement? How does
equal protection comes to mind? Go ahead.
Well, how does the existence of provisions relating to the sale of other products adversely affect E.B. Brown as a marketer of tobacco products? In terms of the equal protection analysis, again, because there's no fundamental interest involved or suspect class involved, it's the rational basis test. And the Supreme Court, in a long line of cases, has established the proposition that you do not have to treat. Number one, the purpose of the Equal Protection Clause is to ensure that similarly situated individuals or entities are treated similarly. Number two, the court, through cases such as the Williamson and Lee Optical case, has established the proposition that the Equal Protection Clause doesn't require that you treat economic entities, even ones that are operating in the same market, identically. You just have to treat them rationally.
I can stop you there then for a minute. The dispute here, I gather, really centers on whether the cigarette folks here can take their discount for paying on time, for paying in cash. Am I right?
Well, I think that the dispute is whether they can take a broad number of what are referred to as manufacturer's discounts. One of them is paying on time.
Okay, let's take a look at their pay on. How is that pay on time? The restriction that they can't take the pay on time discount. How is that related to any of the things you've been talking about? Why are you not allowing them to take that because you're afraid they're going to cut corners on substantive regulations?
No, that's not the whole basis of our argument. Again, getting back to the purpose of the Unfair Sales Act is to prevent, is to provide some level of equality in terms of the lowest price that entities can charge to prevent predatory pricing.
Why do you need this restriction then on the cash now discount?
Because I think another way of looking at the purpose of the Unfair Sales Act, or just another way of stating it, is that the legislature is an intent to try to prohibit competition that is not related to the cost of the product or to your efficiency in delivering the product. To prohibit competition that's based on an economic superiority that's unrelated to the cost of the product or your superiority, your efficiency in delivering the service. And with respect to prompt payment discounts, those by definition favor, number one, they're not related to the cost and the delivery of service, and they favor those who have a superior economic position in terms of a superior cash availability. And one of the just historic purposes of the Unfair Sales Act is to prevent people who have a superior economic position to come in and sell under cost long enough to drive those out who don't.
Staying on the cash now discount. These people were making widgets, i.e., something that's not tobacco, gasoline, or alcoholic beverage. You let them take it, right?
That's not correct. The Unfair Sales Act prohibits including cash discounts in the calculation of minimum cost for any product covered by the Act.
So how does the Act read with respect to... this is what I'm not clear on and why I asked the initial question. How does the Act operate with respect to any other business but those three? What do you require of them how do you make sure that they comply?
They can't sell
below cost as well, am I right?
They cannot sell below a statutorily defined minimum cost. It's just a difference in how the statutorily defined minimum cost is defined with respect to
but it's
cost.
Defined as not including cost of business.
It's defined as including cost of business with respect to tobacco product with respect to tobacco, motor fuel, and with respect to the others, there is not a mandatory cost of doing business markup.
Well, what is there then?
It's the basically the invoice cost minus manufacturer's trade discounts with the exception of cash discounts. Cash discounts are not permitted.
What makes these three areas suspect in the mind of the legislature that causes the need for the distinction in approach to this unfair sale? Simply that they're highly regulated? It must be more than that, as Judge Bauer points out. Certainly, foodstuffs are pretty highly regulated in some fashion. So, is there another aspect of the legislative intent that perhaps we're missing here? that why they have a different formula in enforcing the unfair.
Well, another possible explanation is
we just need any rational one for you to be successful, right?
You need any rational one, and I think that I've articulated it, but again, I want to stress that that this is that Abby Brown is waging an equal protection challenge to this. And in order to establish an equal protection challenge, they have to show that they're somehow harmed by this. They're not harmed or discriminated in this sense, that when they are selling tobacco products, they're competing with other sellers of tobacco products who are subject to the same. Now, they make a big point of, yes, but we sell other products, but that misses the point. That, in fact, hurts their argument more than it helps. Because to the extent that they're alleging the provisions for other tobacco or other product sellers are advantageous, to the extent they're selling those other products, they get the benefit. And to the extent that they're not, that they're only selling tobacco products, they're not in any way harmed because they're not competing with those who have the benefit of those provisions. And therefore, they failed to show either that they're discriminated against or harmed by the provision, and that in itself is fatal to the Equal Protection Clause.
How do you answer your colleague's argument that the practical effect of all this is to establish really a barrier to entry to the out-of-state dealer who wants to come into Wisconsin and compete? Because you've really given him no way by which he can charge a lower price.
I see my time's up. May I respond to the question?
Sure.
That argument is illogical. He, on the one hand, is arguing we should be able to include these discounts in our calculation because they're applied even-handedly. So there's no way that these discounts can be used for a predatory purpose. And then on the other hand, they're saying, because we can't include these, we can't break into the market. Well, if the law permits them to include these, the law also has to permit their competitors to include these. And if, in fact, these discounts are being applied across the board, then there's no effective change in the current situation. Right now, they're being treated equally, and to the extent they're arguing that these are across the board and that's why the state legislature shouldn't be worried about it, then it's not going to help them at all to get the relief they're asking for.
Fortunately, you have arrived at a court that's famous for its cost-benefit analysis of almost any problem.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Brown.
I'll try to be brief. I have to be. I work in the real world. So does my client. Evie Brown works in the real world. When you get past all the smoke and mirrors, pardon the pun, it boils down to this. We have to sell cigarettes at a state-mandated price that gives us more of a profit margin than we would want. One of the essence of competition.
That's kind of a comforting thought. You mean you're in business to lose money?
No, actually we're in business to make money.
But not as much as you could if they stayed with the regulations.
Not as much, but we would. But the essence of competition is squeezing profit margin.
I understand that, but yours is to drop your profit margin down considerably. Is that as I understand?
No, it's not. We don't want to drop it considerably. We just want to be able to sell below the state mandate. You know, the normal profit margin is fairly small in this industry. The state has increased that profit margin significantly. We think that if we could just make the normal profit that we would be content with, that we could compete effectively and get bigger market share. And that's the essence of competition.
Well, what about your opponent's argument that, yes, you are precluded from selling your tobacco products at less than your competitors? That's what she's saying, right?
Right, because the state is telling it to, not because...
I understand, not because of a business decision on your part.
Yes, Your Honor.
Are you also suggesting that not only are you locked into having to market it at a prescribed price, but that you're injured in another way as well?
Oh, sure.
What?
We sell to convenience stores and the gas stations. They sell juice, other beverages, snacks to their customers. We would sell them those products.
Are you in the business now of selling those products?
Yes, we sell those products as well. We supply.
In fact, that's the majority of your business, isn't it?
The majority of our business is cigarettes.
It is cigarettes.
Yes, and that's the point I'm going to get to, is that with all those convenience stores in Wisconsin, we can't even compete to get the juice business, the beverage business, because cigarettes drive the market, okay? If you can't beat the price that your competitor is giving on cigarettes, it doesn't matter what you do on juice or soda pop or anything else. So we can't even compete in that area because of the regulation of the licensed cigarette wholesalers. Now remember, everybody gets to use trade discounts. I'm sorry, Chris.
You can't compete. Why? Because everybody has to sell the cigarettes at a prescribed number.
Correct.
But on all other products, the juice and whatever other allied products you're selling,
we can compete at a lower price,
right.
but unless we can affect in a marked fashion the profits that are being generated by that retailer with cigarettes, they're not going to switch to us. There isn't enough there, okay? Cigarettes are such a dominant part of that business that even though we may be able to compete on a little bit more equal footing, it's not a level playing field.
Is that because you're new to this?
It's because we're new. That's
new
exactly right, Judge.
Territory?
Because
you're mainly an Illinois operation prior to this?
Right. So what we can't get in there, because to get in there, we have to beat them on price. And we can beat them on price, but the state won't let us. And we can still sell at a profit and beat them on price, but the state won't let us. The state lets everyone on the planet, including non-licensed cigarette distributors, jobbers, use trade discounts. We can't. Licensed cigarette distributors can't use trade discounts. We have that standard discount that just, what I've said before, is an illusory discount. We can't use that. And the reason, if you look at what's going on here, what's really happening is that we have one small group being protected. Licensed cigarette distributors existing in the state of Wisconsin.
And there's those other products too, right? I mean,
the other product, they don't have to sell at a profit. They don't meet cost of doing business, and they can use their trade discounts. So they can actually sell.
I'm speaking about alcohol and...
Even alcohol, they get to use trade discounts. They get to use, we don't.
It's just tobacco.
And just certain type of tobacco. Licensed cigarettes, the ones who put the stamps on the cigarettes. The jobbers, they should use trade discounts.
Is that an industry that the legislature could suggest has to be, for some social policy reason, discriminated economically as you would have it?
It's not. It's beyond the realm of even imagination, Judge. It's just not.
It has no bearing.
It has absolutely no bearing.
Either the way you insure it, manufacture it, market it, it doesn't have a distinction.
No. No. There's nothing special, nothing magic about it. No, it's just what we're trying to do is this is in my opinion, with all due respect, it's protectionist legislation. That's the entire purpose of the statute. If it were followed, if they did what they say that they're trying to do,
history indicating a protection of the tobacco distributing business.
They have a very powerful lobby, Judge. There is no legislative history, but I can speak from personal experience. It's a very powerful lobby. You know, the cost of doing business that council spoke to, you know what, we raised that issue because we think it speaks to the irrationality of that statute.
How unique is this Wisconsin statute?
There are other states that have statutes that are similar. There are a number of other states who don't have statutes that are similar. And there are some states, such as Ohio and Maryland, who looked at the statute and have said, and I do believe that theirs is the better reasoned opinions, and that they did use the appropriate standard for review. The Serrer versus cigarette service case, their statute, Ohio statute, was very similar, and the court spoke very, very, I think, effectively. The infirmity of this statute lies in the fact that it is so framed as not to make allowance for the differences in operating costs of different types of wholesalers, with the result that its application creates discrimination in favor of one wholesaler over another. That's exactly right. We've got efficiencies. That's what this country is founded upon, the efficient operation of business. That's what this is all about. We can't use it there. It's not allowed. Now, this light went on, and I don't know if I've gone over my time or...
No, you're not. When you see a red light...
Okay.
That'll mean stop.
So, you know,
you're not constitutionally mandated to argue to the red light, but you have it's your time.
You know, I Your Honor, I've been told that I never know when to be quiet by my wife, so I would probably want to use a little bit more time. I would like to emphasize something. We're in the business to make money. Regulated industries. Yeah, I truly appreciate Your Honor's comments. You know what? Tobacco and alcohol, they're petroleum, they're heavily regulated. If they wanted to accomplish that, what they've done here, then maybe they should have gone to other statutes. I still think it's inappropriate, but in this statute, they came in with one purpose. They're going to fix the problem of selling below cost, real cost. Everybody gets to sell below cost. Except a handful of this regulated industry. They don't get to sell below cost. Not only that, us, and us alone, E.V. Brown, we're stuck with an arbitrary profit margin that we don't want. We want to be able to compete. We don't want the state telling us what we have to sell at. We're comfortable. We don't want to sell below cost. If we sell below cost, we're out of business. But we should be allowed to sell above our cost, but below the state mandated cost. Thank you, Your Honor, for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Schaefer.
Thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the third case.